Welcome to Prog Rock Digital. Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Prog Rock Digital. Thank you very much for downloading and streaming. Thank you for visiting progrockdigital.com, and please keep those emails coming through progrockdigital@gmail.com. Now today I'm chatting with Jimmy Clark, drum tech to Lars Ulrich of Metallica. I caught up with Jimmy whilst he was on vacation in St. Thomas with his wife a few weeks back, just prior to the St. Louis show. Now, we had a great chat, interesting conversation about his day-to-day, I guess, tasks working for the Metallica organization. Great chat with Jimmy. Hopefully, we can chat with him soon. We're back just after this quick break. And, yeah, keep progging, guys. Chat to you very, very soon. On vacation, I take it?
Yeah, I brought the wife down to St. Thomas. I had a week off. I just got married this past March, and I haven't had a chance to take her anywhere. So,
congratulations.
We have a condo down here. Yeah, thank you very much. It's a beautiful place down here. The weather's been great. I'm burnt to a crisp, so it's all good.
So, let me ask you, how long have you been in the Metallica organization for, and how did you go about getting the gig? Pardon the pun.
Yeah, I'm always asked that. Well, I'm going on my 10th year being with them. And in my industry, it really comes down to word of mouth and who you've known and met on the way up.
Yeah.
That's how I got part of the Metallica organization, from people who are in the organization who I've known over the years. And they just followed me, and they knew what I was doing, because I've been with a lot of different acts as either a carpenter, a drum tech, a rigger, stage manager. So I've had a lot of hats I've worn. So when the opportunity came up to be in Metallica, when the thing came up that they needed drum tech, the people that were involved out to me, and the rest is history.
So tell me, run us through a day in the life of Jimmy Clark out on the road with Metallica. I'm assuming it's fairly stressful, and you've got to meet certain deadlines and specifications and so forth. How does that all work?
Well, let me tell you. All right, first of all, can you hear me okay? Because I've got the water in the background. Is it making a lot of background noise?
No, man, I can definitely hear you, man. Thank you.
Okay, good. You know what? Metallica organization is a very well-oiled machine, and it's not stressful at all. I think we're down to doing 25 shows a year now on the starting of the 72 seasons work. As you know, it's... Mm-hmm. We have a huge 40-yard by 40-yard stage now, and we do two shows per city or country, wherever we're in.
Yep.
And it's just something you adapt to. After about a week of doing it, found my grounding, and I just get it done. So it's really – Metallica crew, for one, is probably the best crew in the world for anybody. Everybody in their department is the top in the industry. So that makes it easy. You don't have any dead weight. So we move our gear and everything quickly, efficiently, and safely.
Yep.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. It's not stressful for me at all. I've enjoyed this gig from the day I got it till when we're in St. Louis next week and I hear him play that first note again. I love Metallica's music and I enjoy them. I haven't got tired of them. And I look forward to every night when they play to make sure that Lars is having a great night and he's comfortable and having a great show.
I would say just prior to the gig or leading up to the gig, you yourself get the goosebumps and get the excitement running through the veins and so forth. How, yeah, just run us through that. I mean, that must be exciting in itself, just hearing the crowd, knowing that you're part of this machine, knowing that Lars is your boss, if you like, in inverted commas, and, you know, you just have to get this show on the road and going, and it's going to be right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I used to really get goosebumps moving inside you real quick. I used to get, when I first got the gig, because, you know, when I realized, oh, my God, now I work for Metallica, and I work for, like, the biggest, you know, metal drummer in the world. And yeah. I mean, to me, Lars is like, I might as well be working for John Bonham or Keith Moon or any of those guys I grew up with. You know, he's iconic.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, yeah, it was a little rattling until I found out his face expressions and what I knew he needed. And now it's to the point where I'm just so comfortable with him. I just, you know, just get up there and do my gig, you know, as long as I know I'm pretty confident in myself that I have everything in order. You know, the worst thing I have before a show to do is maybe have to go take a leak before the show, and it's a long way to the bathroom.
So I take it.
I mean, that's the worst of my worries right there. Especially at my age.
It does help, man, when you relieve yourself, man. It's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to fall low I got a lot to do for 2 hours.
No, that's right. That's right. So you're essentially setting up two or three kits because, I mean, you haven't come to Australia yet. So I haven't had the visual of that as yet. But yeah, is it two or three or?
It's four.
Four kits. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So
he plays four songs per, because we're in the round. And it's such a large stage. Lars has four different points of playing. So everybody gets to see him close up. It's well thought out, actually.
So does that mean you get paid four times the amount?
No, I actually get paid four times less.
So how long would it take you to set those kits up?
Oh, it takes me 2 hours. I have a day prior to the actual show. Well, actually, I have 2 days prior because, you know, the band comes in usually the day before and they just kind of run the stage for an hour just to make sure everything's good. So usually on that Wednesday, because we usually play on Friday and Sunday, on Wednesday, I have a whole day to break down the drums, change heads, clean them, and get them together. And I break down his kits down to the shells and re-wax them, oil them every show because I want them to be almost like brand new out of the box. So I have a whole day to do that, clean the cymbals. And I have actually I brought on an assistant to help me. His name is Steve Ogan. He's been very helpful. And mostly I brought him in because of loadout, because I couldn't get loadout done in a timely manner because the stage is coming down and they're taking pieces away. They're taking the steps away. And I'm like, hey, slow down here, guys. I got to get the drums off the stage.
Yep.
So bringing Steve in helped me to go from breaking down the kit at the end of the show for 2 hours down to 40 minutes. Now we have it done in the truck and all good.
So are you, I guess, the person there that ensures that Lars has his towel, his sticks, whilst the show's running, obviously, and you've obviously got access to his mic and his headphones and so forth. Is that all part of is that part of what Jimmy does?
No, not everything. Like, you know, we have our wardrobe girl, Foster. She takes care of his wardrobe needs and his ears and stuff like that.
Okay.
We all work together kind of to do it. Like I lay out all the towels and drinks in the beginning and And Foster and me both kind of follow him. And whenever we see he needs a drink, one or the other will run up and give him one. And so, like I said, he's got two towels up there per drum set, and that's all he really needs for four songs. Mm. And then when he comes off the stage, every couple of songs, he goes into his hut, and Foster tends to him, whatever he needs, changes the shirt, you know, needs anything. And I just keep, I just pretty much make sure his drums are up and ready to go, because the way we do it now, we have to, the drums have to be, like all the cymbal stands have to be folded down to fit underneath the stage.
Okay.
It's just designed, to me, it's a design flaw, but it's the way this the set is designed.
Yeah.
So when the door opens up, me and a couple of the carpenters have to put the cymbal stands in the right places, plus the overhead mics now we just added. And then I have to sit down really quick and look at everything and make sure everything's in place, get off, and then they bring the drum set up.
So, Jimmy, I guess in terms of on the night at the gig's, you know, you're setting up, you're ready to go. Has there been a last minute issue where you've had to, you know, think out of the square, out of the box, and, you know, basically get it done?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the only issue we've ever had is sometimes the elevator not opening in time. Like, we just did Power Trip out in Indigo, California.
Yeah, in the desert.
And if you're not, yeah, it's a real, it was a big, it was a metal festival with the likes of like Guns N' Roses and Judas Priest and, you know, AC/DC and Tool. And we had our, what we call our snake pit out there.
Mm.
And the snake pit has two elevators, so we used three drum sets. We had one main stage, and we had two out front. And unfortunately, and the same thing happened in Downing Download last year, the one kit just didn't open up in time. So that's the only issue we've had with this tour is technical problems with the elevators.
Yep.
Okay. But other than that, playing-wise, things breaking. No, you know, I mean, like I said, his kit is set up every day, like brand new out of the box. And he's only got to get through four songs at any given kit. So I, you know, nothing really breaks.
Yeah. It does minimize the, yes, of course.
Right.
I guess as a drum tech, you're there, you're ensuring and making sure that, you know, everything's running right on the night as well during the gig. So having four kits obviously minimizes what happens on stage and any issues happening on stage. I would say your biggest nightmare maybe would be if it's a kick drum that, you know, a skin that breaks. I mean, snare drums are probably a lot easier to sort of maneuver and move around, but if it's kick drum, what happens then?
Well, hopefully he can play with his left foot. You know, Lars uses felt beaters, so he's really not going to go through a bass drum head because of using a felt beater. Now, if he used a wood beater or a heavy leather beater or something, I'd be concerned. But it's another thing. I change his bass drum heads every 6 months.
Whoa.
And as many shows as we're doing, you know, it's... I just don't see him breaking a bass drum unless he just, you know, jumped up and down and, you know, broke it. And same thing with the snare drum heads or the tom heads. Mm. Now, we did have an issue this beginning of the tour where we got a bad batch of heads.
Oh.
Whereas Lars uses these heads called Control Sound, and the bottom and the dot is on the bottom head of the drum.
Yep.
And somehow or another, the glue was not holding and the dot was falling off, which totally changed the sound of the drum. Mm. So that was an issue for a little bit, but we fixed that. But that's the only thing that's been going up with this tour is the, you know, the elevators once in a while and the drum heads. But for the past couple of months now, everything's been kind of moving along, except for Power Trip recently.
So how many more shows this year?
I got when me and my wife leave here Saturday next weekend, we have two in St. Louis, and then the following weekend two in Detroit, and then we're done for the year.
Okay. And yeah. Any whispers about Metallica in Australia in next year or anything like that?
Not, you know, nothing next year. You know, I'm hearing maybe the year after that, but and believe me, we want to come.
Yeah.
You know, we're sad. We're sad that we didn't come in 2019 because we do want to get down there. You know, I love Australia. I've been there a few times. I've even bungee jumped.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And over there in Auckland, I did, I don't know if they're there anymore. They were called the Bungee Brothers. And, you know, it's a big crane. It took you up the top over some water. And
Actually,
I didn't really jump because I was scared shitless and I got pushed off.
Oh, I don't know what's worse. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Well, like I say, I did it then. But yeah, no, we'll see what happens in that. I'm not at liberty to say.
Of course not. No, look, I am.
I just know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, there's an excitement here. And I guess I am, you know, sounding somewhat facetious as well with my question. But, you know, it's have you ever been to a Aussie rules match or game, football that we call it here?
No.
Which,
I have a friend.
Yeah.
I have a friend over there, and I've got quite a few Australian friends over there who want to, you know, take me around. And, you know, when I last time I was there, I was there with Taylor Swift years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, and I don't know if anybody knows about this, but I used to play drums with Debbie Harry. And we did a major tour back in like 89, 90, and from Brisbane to Perth and did the whole thing. Yeah. And I was there for like a month, and best thing I remember about it was in Adelaide at the wineries was like fabulous. Or no, Melbourne. Is it Melbourne?
So you got the wineries in Adelaide, South Australia. Yep. Is that where you played at the wineries or no?
No, we didn't play. I just on my day off, I would go out there.
So that was South Australia. So you would have gone to the Barossa Valley, but the Barossa.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, man.
I drank a lot. That's where I discovered port.
Ah, yeah, of course, man. Nice and sweet.
I could.
So it's interesting that you've brought this up. So you yourself obviously were in a metal band, if you like, prior to this, and weren't you? I mean, prior to working with some of the big names, you had your own outfit, didn't you?
Not so much metal. I played for a bunch of people. I was kind of a hired gun. I played with who did I play with there? Oh yeah, I played with like Joan Jett and Blackhearts, and like I said, played with Debbie Harry. I played with a Finnish artist named Michael Monroe. Mm. And then, I lived like 22 years in Nashville, so I got to play with a bunch of the country stars down there. But as far as metal, I haven't really had a metal band.
Or a rock I was playing outfit or a hard rock outfit, yeah? No?
Yeah, that would have been the Michael Monroe thing, and that was a band called Demolition 23.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. Did you record with that band?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple albums. There's an album out called Demolition 23. Yeah, in fact, it just got reissued, and it just came out again. In fact, there was a Demolition 23 reunion just 2 weeks ago that unfortunately I couldn't attend because of my commitment to Metallica. But they did it over in Finland, and it went really well. But yeah, it's a great record. If you like the Ramones, we're kind of like a Finnish version of the Ramones.
Mm. Fantastic.
Yeah, Michael Monroe, one of the best singers I ever worked with in my life. I mean, he's got his own act called, you know, Michael Monroe. He's the Michael Monroe band.
Yeah.
He came from a band called Hanoi Rocks, who back in the day.
Of course. Yes.
And you know, the whole thing with
Vince Neil.
Vince Neil, and you know that whole story.
Yeah, wow. So I assume it helps having that drumming background when it comes to the likes of working with Lars or working for Lars?
You know, surprisingly, there are drum techs that know nothing about playing drums, but they're just good techs.
Yeah.
You know, but most of the guys I have met are drummers, or, you know, they can do it, they can play, but there are some out there that just know how to take care of drums.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got, you know, on this tour, we've got Pantera, Mammoth, and we've got Five Fingers Death Punch out with us. And each one of their good drummers too.
Which is my next question. Do you get to hang out with a lot of the artists that you're working with on any given night? Or is it essentially, you know, you basically do what you do, pack down, and then head off to your sleeping quarters? I mean, how does that work?
I get to hang out with, Charlie from, you know, Pantera and Five Fingers Death Punch and Garrett from Mammoth.
Yeah.
When they're doing their sound check, we all, you know, get together and chat, see how everybody's doing and all that. But actually hang? No, because, you know, by the time we're done, they might be gone already. Because this tour, we're all flying, you know, and most of those guys are on a bus doing a bus thing. And like I said, we only have them one night apiece. It's not like they're there Friday night and they stay till Sunday. Because like I said, Pantera is Friday, Five Fingers is Sunday. So I basically just talk to the drummers. We got to hang out with them, see how they're doing. If they need anything, you know, I always offer, if anything you guys need, let me know.
Yeah.
Great guys, all of them. This is one of my favorite tours we've ever done because I get to see three superstar drummers. You know, Charlie Benenes from Anthrax. And then there's, you know, Charlie, I think you pronounce Charlie's name Engine, EGEN from Five Fingers Death Punch.
Yep.
Punch. And then Garrett Whitford from Mammoth. They're all three the best at what they do. Killer players.
So I guess the thing that really interests me, Jimmy, is that, you know, at the end of the day, and I guess you did touch on before the fact that, you know, relationships, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, relationships, being at the right place at the right time, you know, things just working, you know, the way they worked for you in order for you to, you know, work for Metallica. I got to ask you, man, when you were growing up as a young kid, as a teenager, had this ever sort of crossed your mind that you would be working with such a massive organization and working directly with Lars? I mean, is that not on the cards?
Absolutely not, dude. The fact that I'm, you know, I count my blessings every day. The fact that I am in this position with, you know, biggest band in the world and nice guys too. Just they're cool people. You know, yeah. Lars is great. And I'm 66 years old. You know, I should not be in the music business anymore, but the fact that I am and I'm here and thriving and there's no end in sight for right now, blessed every day. I'm thankful every single day.
Thank you so much for partaking in this interview. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the Prog Rock Digital Podcast. Jimmy.
Thank you. So you know how to get a hold of me. And if you say we're coming your way, reach out.